Right, Mike.
Right. Some of you probably are familiar with this. It's a very, very famous story about Kelly. And so, the title is Give Me This Mountain.
Amen.
Give Me This Mountain. I've got lots of notes here, so if you hear me rustling, it's because I'm trying to get my thoughts together. But we'll start with a promise, because there's one thing that Caleb actually latched onto was the promises that God had made to Moses and to the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And I'm going to start with a promise that I've got, which I believe is that for everyone actually, who's poor in the world. Fear not, I am with you. I am your shield and your very great reward. I will bless you and your household. Only trust and believe, and you will see the salvation of your God. Over 10 years ago, and I wrote it in the back of the Bible. There's not many words, I don't get many direct, strong prophecies, but I wrote that one now because it's important to me. And I think it's important that always, whenever we get a word from God, if it's just a line that leaps off the page, that we take note of it and we try and apply it to our lives.
Yeah,
the chap I want to talk about today is one of the heroes of the faith in my book. He's one of my favourite characters, along with Joshua in the Old Testament and David. And Caleb was originally one of the 12 spies who was sent out to spy out the land. If you can remember, as far back as Genesis, in fact, as far back as Genesis, Adam and Eve, there's always been that prophecy that one day a Savior would come.
Yeah.
And that was continued right on from Adam and Eve through Abraham. And Abraham has given marvellous promises where the man that you put, that one will belong to you. That your loins will come on and bless all the families of the earth.
Yeah.
And that was a promise that had been given, and God had been raising up men, children of these people, to continue that promise. And then we finally hear the story where eventually the children of Israel get scattered and they become slaves in Egypt. And we all know the story about God rescuing them with a really strong outstretched arm. Powerful, powerful miracles and plagues and demonstrations of his power. So much so that the very mountains rocked and quaked, and people cried out, "Don't speak to me, don't speak to me, it's too powerful, we can't speak to Moses." And that was, we're just in awe. And we know that the mountain was even quaking, so that even an animal or a dog can set foot on it, otherwise we'll be stuck there. So we've seen these marvellous, mighty outpourings of God's supreme power. Most have been quaking in the boats. And all the children of Israel had seen this. And we know that thousands and thousands were set free. They escaped from Egypt, and Moses is in charge. And then we read that they're coming to the desert. And we know that God has spoken to Moses explicitly that wherever he sets his foot, that land would belong to him. He gave him a promise. He gave him a promise way, way back. And he said, wherever you set your foot, that will belong to you.
Yeah.
That will belong to you. And so on their journey through the desert, God had got this land that they would settle, they would take over the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and Perizzites, and they would own the land. And in this preparation to do that, Moses chose 12 leaders from the tribes of Israel at that time. And they said, I want you to go and spy out the land. I want you to go through its breadth, width, find out what's there, find out whether there's food, water, find out whether they've got forests, find out how strong the people are. In other words, they were doing a reconnaissance. They were working out what the enemy was like. And whether God had told them they were going to take the land, but God, Moses sent them out. And you're all familiar with the story. Many of you know this story off by heart. They spied out the land.
Mm.
And we read that, unfortunately, 10 of the spies, or 10 of the people who were on that mission, saw the land. The land was indeed flowing with milk and honey, as God had promised. They brought great big giant clusters of grapes back. They could see that the lushness of the vegetation, the enormity of the fruit and vegetables and and everything they would need to be successful. But they also saw in that land what they called giants. Now these giants loom very, very large. They devour the whole land. They're too big for us. We can't possibly take this land. Now these giants were from reading into it, you could say they were literal giants. They were actually literal giants, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Some people, some Bible scholars dispute that. But it had been known from really early on from as far as it says it, that it's certainly in Noah's time that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and afterwards. And some people believe them. Some Bible scholars would say that the Nephilim were the actual spirits that had cohabited with women.
Yeah.
And procreated and brought forth men of renown.
Yeah.
And we are led to believe, or not led to believe, stated in here, that the whole land, especially in some areas of that Canaanite, actually had a race of humanoid, if you like, or some form of species, which the large, even just Jesus writes this in his book, he's describing them having fearsome heads and fearsome shouts and all the rest of it. But they are mentioned throughout the Bible in snippets.
Yeah.
You just get echoes of it. Now, we know that the book of Enoch's being taken out, but the book of Enoch goes into great detail, but I don't want to go there. We can see in Jude that the angels all left their first abode, came down, and there was certainly some funny goings on, put it that way. But as a result of this, when the spies went into that land, they actually saw giants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some commentators say, well, it was just giants in their own eyes, their own fears that were looming. I tend not to believe that. I think actually there were real problems that they had to overcome. And the chap I want to talk about today is one of the spies called Caleb. Now, Caleb's attitude was different to these other spies. He said, we can surely take this land.
Yeah.
We can do this because God's promised it.
Mm-hmm.
God has already disarmed us, he said.
Yeah.
I'll give you some Bible scriptures to look up later. Well, that's the story itself. If you look at Joshua 14, verse 7. This is Caleb looking back on his wife. And I'm going to read from verse 7. So it's Joshua 14, verse 7. And he's recalling this event. And he says this. I'm using the King James. I'll try not to put some other these and downs at times. Just my God. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, and as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, that I wholly followed the Lord my God.
Amen.
And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke his word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses said to me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And he goes on to say, for you were clearly the Anakims. The Anakims were the race of giants. There was four in particular ones there, 16 and 6 toes and all the rest of it. And we later read that in Joshua actually drove the lot out, apart from one or two who escaped the gap. And Gap, as you know, is where the Philistines came from, and that's where Goliath came from. So he was one of the somehow seems to have got away, and he and David actually still root him out. The first time God root him out was when he obviously caused the flood on the earth, because the earth was polluted and corrupt. The DNA of man was a trouble of him. In my opinion, and I believe the Bible, it was going to be corrupted. It was all it was going to corruption. I know it was filled with violence and evil and all the rest of it, and God said it was going to be there. That's another story for another day, perhaps. But we hear this man stating, you know, we can surely take one. Caleb's name actually comes from, some people believe it meant dog. That he was from a tribe of kind of rough-neck people, initially Kenzanites, who weren't even part of the children of Israel's tribe. They became assimilated into the tribe of Judah. As you know, when the strangers came out from Egypt, strangers were allowed to join themselves with the children of Israel, the tribes, and they became assimilated and became part of the tribe. And so, some have said that his name meant dog, some meant it meant all heart. He was a full of heart. He was a happy sort of a boy. And he meant business. He meant business. This story for me gives us great hope, because when you consider that he was 85 years old when he actually went up to actually take this mountain, he stayed here as strong as I was. Now, we don't know whether that's God preserved him physically, but certainly one thing we do know, his heart and his spirit wasn't for the job. And not only that, this man is actually asking for the hardest part of the region. He's asking for Hebron. And Hebron at that time was involved by these giants, but he claimed it. He knew that God had spoken it. He was wholehearted. And that to me speaks of commitment, obedience, being full of faith, being willing to go that extra mile. And what a great example he really is to us. What a great. Also, it gives us something to be optimistic about.
Oh,
yeah. You know, the world will set your face up for us. If you've not really got to do that, that's it.
Yeah, no.
You know, even in Bible colleges, today, if you're not a minister by, you know, 25, okay, you're not part of the plan. And yet, when we read about what God thinks about all this, he's got a completely different viewpoint. A completely different viewpoint. We only have to look at Psalms, don't we? Psalm 93. Let's read Psalm 93, verse 12 to 14. Sorry, got the wrong one. I've got the wrong one. You can flourish in your old age. Let me read from verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I know them are fat. We will really, we can still flourish. We're not finished, you know. I know that I've got a tendency, you know, I make the old jokes about, well, you look like a good aren't you, look, and you, you know, and you think, well, I must be gay at all, these people are coming to you, and I must, I look good, right? You know, and maybe it's not happy the second time pride and stuff is happening.
Yeah, but that's not
the crossword. No, and that's not crossword. And I found this difficult because we see a man here who's just as ready for the battle as he ever was.
Yeah.
He's just as keen on seeing God's will perform as he was when he was 40.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, probably when he was even younger, who knows? And it's a great example.
Yeah.
And God wants us to be like that.
Yeah.
I fight against it sometimes. I honestly do, and sometimes we want an easy life, don't we? I can't even imagine them getting loads on the wooden burning stove sitting in front of it, even when life's doing as well, you know, it's like that softness, and that's what at times we need to rest.
Yeah.
And if we can combine that with reading or praying, there's nothing better.
No.
Heaven's an interesting word because the reason he wants us to come to was Hebron.
Yeah.
And apparently it means a place of fellowship, it means a place of friendship and association. I think that this man Caleb knew what he was wanting. He wanted that fellowship with God, he wanted that union with God, that these old saints of that, that Abraham had.
Mm.
God met Abraham in the plains of the Mount, which is near Hebron.
Yeah.
He built an altar on Hebron.
Mm.
He buried his wife, I think he buried his wife, he certainly buried himself, he was buried there,
yeah.
And Jacob, and Isaac were buried in this very mountain that Caleb was wanting to take. Apparently, it's one of the first cities that was actually bought. Abraham bought his dwelling place, his deathbed, if you like, for 700 pieces of silver. And so he knew what he wanted, he knew where he was going, he wanted fellowship with God.
Yeah.
He wanted friendship with God, and that's what we should be wanting and seeking. And our mountains, yeah, there might not be physical giants in the sense of maybe spiritual physical giants.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a cult giant, but a lot of the giants are like, I'm not worthy, I can't do it. Or little old me, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're reading. This is what we're actually reading in the spines. And
yeah.
I just want to pick up on what they actually said about the when they were asked to go into it, when they saw the giants in the land, what they said. If I can find it. So we can go well. Yes, no. When we read that they murmured greatly. When the spies sent back the news that there were giants in the land, they were literally wet. They wet. They moulded, they murmured. You can see that in chapter 14 of Numbers. Number 1. Chapter 14. Numbers. This is what they thought about it, going into this promised land. So here. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
Or would to God we had died in this wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that what that must have felt to both Moses and Aaron and God himself?
Mm-hmm.
When God showed his outstretched hand, his testimony, his instituted the Passover, he's brought them out from slavery in Egypt. And here we've got this group of people, this congregation, this news that the giants in the land said, would to God that we died in the wilderness. Now, we do read here that God was really angry at this. I mean, it took Moses to step in and reach to actually stop and be destroyed on the spot. It literally did. I know we're talking about God being a loving and kind, yeah, he's all those things, but he's also God Almighty.
Yeah.
Mm.
seems to me that they had more fear of the giants than they did of God, which is bang on the Lord. They had more fear of their own personal problems and things than they did have on the fear of God and what he's capable of. And I think that's realist, I think. And, you know, we look at ourselves, don't we? And I've got to look at myself and think, you know, mate, I wish you could have been more like Caleb. I wish you could have been more like Joshua. You know? But we're still in it.
We still are going.
Then there is a sense in which we are still moving towards our mountains and conquering mountains. Have we got a gospel mentality or have we not? And it's giving the right. I know that last week I was talking about it's all up here, it's all in your mind, it's all what, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your own mind, your own problems, yourself, what the world's saying? Or are you going to believe what God says about you?
Yeah.
Are you going to believe what God thinks about you? Are you going to believe what God's going to do through you and accomplish through you? And these are the things we need to focus our minds on. And there is a sense in that Caleb is actually like a type of Christ. He set his face like a flint to conquer the arms. He saw the Christ when he went to the cross.
That's right.
Christ is the ultimate warrior of all times. He's the ultimate warrior.
Yeah.
We read that Caleb realized when he went into the land that these giants were already disarmed. He said, they've no power. They've already disarmed already. And what do we read about Christ? He disarmed the principalities and powers and made it open shoulder. He conquered them.
Yeah.
He brought them through that open shoulder when he brings the captives of your and defeat his hand through the space and mocking and jeering them. He's done that. Christ done that. Christ has conquered the ultimate giant, if you like, which is Satan and sin and death and sickness. And so in that sense, Caleb is like Christ in many ways. But then we have to analyse what was it about Caleb? What was it that made him so successful? And we've already read earlier on, he was wholehearted, fixed in his mind to do what God said, to believe God's word. He also says, or God says, he has another spirit. Caleb's not like these other spies. He's got another spirit. Now, that other spirit, we know that many spirits can be really great. There's loads of explorers and people doing things that you think, how can they do that? They're a different breed to me. They've got a strong spirit. We talk about how strength of the human spirit and how marvelous it is, and it really is. But we don't know whether, but in this sense, I believe that Caleb had a different spirit. And we read, and I'm thinking, well, where did he get this different spirit? We know that we've got the privilege of being filled by the Holy Spirit. His promises is to you and your children's children. We read that in Acts, in that first preaching, that is where you're talking. So we've got marvellous promises. That, if you like, is our promised land. We've got the promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
We all are.
But this spirit, and I was reading this, like, well, where did he get his spirit from? But there is one incident, I think it's in Genesis 11. I might be wrong here, because I've now got well. I've gone well off my notes now. And I might put a big hook. There's a story about God sending his spirit upon some of the elders in the camp. I'll just go on.
Were you looking for that where it talks about Caleb having a different spirit?
But also, I want to go back to where he might have got his spirit from, because earlier on, we read that some of the elders were filled by the Spirit of God. And it came upon some of them, but two were outside the rain. But God has poured out his spirit on these people. And we want to practice. I'm not surmising, I'm not saying that God said, when they, I'm going off tangent, so if you can somehow remember the verses now. God said, would to God that all would be positive, would to God that all would Protestant.
Yeah, that's right.
Joshua had seen that these men had been, the elders had been filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And they said, let me just stop them.
Yeah.
And Moses says, no, would to God that all men would be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So the reason isn't inkling there that actually Moses was like light years ahead of the rest of them.
Oh, yeah.
One day, God will solve today.
Yeah.
But he'll fill all men with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because he knew that, and later on in that chapter, when God was so mad with these people for being disobedient and not going into the land, but he says, my glory will fill the earth, my glory will fill all the earth. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through people like you and me who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who will come to the heavens.
Amen.
Yeah. Numbers 14, verse 24.
Yeah.
I'll just read before that because here the Lord saying, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me to see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, wholeheartedly, him will I bring into the land wherein to me went, and his seed shall possess it.
Yeah.
In Numbers 11, verse 29. Yeah. He says, are you afraid that people will think that I am not a leader now? I wish that all the Lord's people were able to prophesy. I wish that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. That's what he wants to do for us. That's what he wants to do for us. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be obedient. So how do we get that heart like Caleb's? Well, I think the first thing is that we have to take God at his word. We have to take God at his word. And I've learned that through my life that I'm not always taking God at his word, and sometimes I thought, oh, is that be alright? And I've gone off and I've wasted years.
Yeah.
And I told him that just messed me up because I've gone against the word and I've gone against what was his plan. But you know, we have to just start off down. We say that God can and God will have his way in our lives, and he will actually bring us through. The Bible tells us, under that these men like Caleb and Joshua, they're our witness around us. And I think that we are surrounded by these witnesses. And what does it encourage us to do? To lay off every weight and sin which so easily entangles us. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. And they give us a hope. You know that? There was some really good, and I say in inverted commas, old. Not old in spirit, but old that were in the church. They encourage you. When you're young, they encourage you. The depth of their understanding encourages us and brings people on. And there are examples. And there's so many examples in this school book here. And he said, so let us throw off the weight and sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who You see, Caleb could have gotten really upset, didn't he? Because when those guys said we can't go in, he ended up in the desert for 40 years. He could have been embittered.
Yeah.
He could have thrown in the towel there and there. No, that's it. I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. Thank goodness he didn't. He could have said, "Hey, well, that's it. This lot, they're not worth it anyway." And how many times we've thought that when we're in church?
Mm.
You know, you sometimes go in church and it's not really worth it. I'm honest. But you know, they were at the crossroads. I believe it was bringing his church to a crossroads again.
Yeah.
Mm.
The moments in your life when you reach a point where you either go forward, well, that's it, you're going back, or you're just stagnating.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like the two of us, you're going round and round and round and round and round and round again. Mm-hmm. Round this wilderness walk for 40 years. I don't want to do any more wilderness walks. I've had my own personal wilderness walks.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that, and as I'm saying it, I'm just saying, well, I'm going to start putting more time in me. You have to start seeking it throughout the night, you get, you know, and I've been there and I've stepped away from it. I learned one recently and I pulled straight back from it. And for God forgive me when he says something to you, he says, you think, I'm going to do something else now, I think I'll stop praying now. It's almost like you want to get to fellowship, but you don't.
No.
You want to get close, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like that in my life, and I'm sure you understand that point.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break through? Well, I suppose it's by believing, by being obedient, and by sacrificing, by being willing to go that extra mile and to do what he said, and to be filled with his Holy Spirit, so that his will becomes our will.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's the crux of the matter in all this. Getting our will to match up with his will.
Yeah.
If we can get our wills to match up with his will, then one. And it's the same for the church, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we could get everybody in here, as Caleb, wholeheartedly surrendered to God, wholeheartedly fix and believe in his word,
mm-hmm.
and acting on it, both individually and corporately, then we're obviously going to take our own personal ones, and we've got to remember, when Caleb took that mountain, he said, the whole land had rest from war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he'd got the guts to batter through, the rest got the blessings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the whole land was left in peace.
Yeah.
But so often, we don't fight our own personal battles, and so the people never get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, if we won our own personal battles, we'd be a lot further on. I'm not just being in this church, I'm not being disrespectful, but I've been in church where we've been doing really well, and people have started coming, and you've been in a position where people are doing the jobs, and then one particular point at Aaron thought, we reached a point where it started to grow, and we've probably got the same as here on Christmas, and we put on Christmas events, and we all felt that, hey, God's doing something here.
Mm.
And some of the members, I'm not naming names, one of the members they didn't want to support any longer. They were part of the musicians, and they didn't want to support, and one by one, they were picking up people.
Yeah.
Until in the end, they were still hanging in there, and then an opportunity to get a building, their own building, and they looked around it, and they didn't go for it, and instead a young girl with a lot of spirit set up a dance studio where the church is going to be, and it's now still flourishing. She took over that topic, and she's got a nice dance studio there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been held still in at that time to go forward. Plus, you know, no other reasons. And, you know, know, we might have been, who knows the reason. But Elijah come to a crossroads, and Caleb come to a crossroads, the children of Israel come to a crossroads, and what did they do? Murmured, complained, so much so that they wanted to stone Moses, stone Aaron, and no doubt were away with the, all the Joshua and Caleb, but they fought for them. And we've got to remember that on our side, we've got Christ. We've already said he's disarmed the principalities and powers in Colossians 2 verse 15. We know that the kingdoms of God, in Daniel it says the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah in Daniel 7 verse 15, 28. We know in Revelation 11 verse 15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That's where we're going, going into God's kingdom, God's kingdom, where his reign rules. I think, just in closing, because obviously we see enough. There's no going back, there's only going forward. And we must all put, try, because God's help, we can. We can break through. With God's help, we can put our own personal giants to bed, once and for all. We can.
More than overcomers.
Exactly, yeah. Well done. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Yeah.
We are more than overcomers.
Yes.
And
the rest in the line, because created dealt with the giants. They were the ones that were causing the their biggest problem. Created dealt with the giants, so they had rest in the line.
That's right.
If we can deal with the giants, then we'll have rest.
And bless it as well. So, just a few words there that could have gone in two different. Just a few words, but I know I've got to be more obedient, more wholehearted, more willing to, what's the word, wait on God. But I know that costs. I know that costs. Let's pray that we come to help that we all make that breakthrough that we all need. Because I think time's short, personally. We can see the way the world is. And the other thing about it all is that every word that God says. Every word in there is for our correction and for rebuke. We have a temptation to just pick out a bit that we like, right? And keep on. But if you remember in Acts, they dedicated themselves to the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread and prayer. And I think it's still got to come back to that. It's still got to be basing lives on what that book says. And so we've got to treat that book respectfully and honour each and every word in there, and not pull out bits we want, put bits in there. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Each of those 10 miracles were working against the Egyptians' gods. So each time that those miracles happened, it was to bring down one of the Egyptians' gods that they worshipped, the god of the Nile, turn it into blood. And so they knew this. They'd lived there 400 years. They knew all about this. And so he knew when he came out that promised land, they went in, they saw it. God even protected them from being captured, didn't they? Him and Joshua escaped. The harlot, Rahab, the harlot, hid them, didn't she? And even that was tremendous when that scarlet cord was just hung down And the angel of God saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And her house was stood. Mm-hmm. Nobody was hurt. You know, that's mind blowing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, you've encouraged me today because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've stood
yeah.
for 25 years mm-hmm. in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when I could have retired and
said, yeah.
I've done my time, you know. I don't need to do any more. Leave it to somebody else. But I know I'm not called to do that.
Yeah.
And so then I have to talk to myself.
Mm-hmm.
and then I have to, you know, then my wife has to pray behind the scenes for me. And you know that I'll be strong and that I'll come through this
yeah.
feelings of jigger it, I'm chucking towel in, I've done my bit and we need to pray for one another.
Yeah.
And as we pray for one another, standing in the gap, supporting one another. Not just practically but spiritually.
Yeah.
It's important that we stand in the gap, pray for one another, encourage one another.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the enemy wants to pick you off one at a time. And that's what he seeks to do. Divide and conquer.
And he started trying to do that.
Yeah, and that's what we... Yeah. And so you have to come back. And, you know, we have to realize... I mean, some things you don't know have been said to me through... with regard to messenger, certain comments that, to me, I've never seen. That people see things that are probably not there. Because like you said, the word is there to teach, but it's all there to correct.
Mm.
But most people want to be taught, but don't correct me. Don't challenge me, please.
Mm.
You know, let me continue doing what I want to do.
Mm.
And that's all right. But don't challenge me. Because that's the way people are brought up in today's society.
Mm.
But as you said, Nick, the word is there to challenge, to rebuke, to correct. Don't correct. What do you mean you're correcting me? Sorry, but that's what the word says we have to do. And if we don't do it as leaders, then guess what? One day we stand before his judgment. Yeah, exactly. So we don't do it lightheartedly. We do it with a great responsibility laid upon our shoulders. And we endeavour to do it the right way, but it's not always taken the right way. But we need to, you know, continue to press through, to push through, and see God move.
Mm.
And I believe he will. And we are, you know, we've got to continue this pressing. I mean, we moved in this area, this road here. When we moved in here, it was a nightmare. 24/7 police cars. Shouting, fighting. We had a drug dealer living opposite us. And in the end, the drug dealer, she even came in, she got saved, but she wouldn't continue the war, you know, etc. And so in the end, I got before the Lord, I said, Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough. This went on for some time. I said, Lord, I've had enough. I said, you're going to have to do something about it. I said, either change her or move her. And I said, I don't know which it's going to be. But those are the only two options I can see. So, Lord, change it or move her. Within 3 weeks, she came knocking on the door of church. She said, hey, Andrew, I've just let you know we're moving. Oh, yes. And when she moved and somebody else moved in, the atmosphere totally changed on the street. It's a different street to what it used to be. We used to get stones and all sorts thrown at the building. Everything was going on. Oh, it was a
nightmare. And, you know,
people were looking down, the kids running around. Totally transformed. So, you're right in what you're saying. We've got to get over this. We've got to press in and push through and encourage one another. But that's right. God gave the church the authority. And so, Caleb and Joshua, when they went into that promised land, they had the authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joshua went in as the leader and Caleb said, I'm giving me that mountain
mm-hmm.
that was promised to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it. It's not about age.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's in your spirit.
Mm.
And you know, we need to let our spirit rule our mortal bodies.
Mm.
And when we do that, we shall see change.
More than conquerors.
We are more than conquerors. Mm. Amen.
The thing that hits me most forcibly is we have got God's promise.
Yeah.
We know we're here because God put us here.
Yeah.
And I know we have not changed his mind. Whatever happens, he has not changed his mind. I sat there once and thought, I'm looking at a butterfly, and I thought, well, where did that butterfly come from? Nobody was like, yeah, but it did, didn't it? God went, and there was my answer. So I mean, that's how I got my answer to be. I am. You look around at something that's so beautiful out there, the towers and the creatures, and it's just marvellous, you know what I mean? It's, and that's good. I'm afraid I'm not here. Mm.
So, yeah. So, thank you for that word. That's an encouraging word, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.